Chapter 12. Scott's already got his phone out while Stiles is talking to Veronica. He's unbearably grateful when Dr. Deaton skips the pleasantries and just asks what's wrong. Scott swallows and starts to lay out what little information he knows, as clinically as possible. His voice only hitches once. The one time he looks away from Derek, it's to watch Allison pull her sleeves over her hands and start going through her bag to find what she'll need to clean up the scene. He listens as Deaton asks a few questions, then says, "I'll find out." He crouches at Derek's side. "Can you feel your fingertips at all? I don't care if you can move them, but can you feel them?" He reaches out and squeezes the tips of Derek's fingers. "Yes," Derek says, voice remarkably even. "Okay." He moves to Derek's feet and tucks the cell phone between his ear and his shoulder before carefully easing one of the sneakers off and doing the same to Derek's toes. "What about that? Can you feel that?"
"I think so. I'm cold, so it's hard to tell."
"Yes to both," Scott says into the phone. "And he can tell that he's cold." There's a brief silence.
"A what?
No, I don't." "Okay." A bright smile spreads over his face, and he holds a hand out with his thumb up so Derek, and more importantly Stiles, can see it. "Is he safe to move? Because we have to..." "Yeah, I'll call you back." "Okay, thank you so much." Scott hangs up and shoves his phone back into his pocket. "Neurotoxin," he says. "It'll wear off." Stiles huffs out a sigh of relief that shakes his entire body. "Okay." He looks around quickly, checks on his resources. "Did you guys drive here?"
"Yeah, we have my car and Lydia's," Danny says.
"Okay." Stiles gives a nod and thinks about who the least scary is. "Isaac, Lydia, you're in charge of Veronica. Take her in Lydia's car. Boyd, Danny, you've got Derek. Lay him out in your back seat. Erica, Allison, stay here for cleanup. You've probably got 10 minutes before my dad will get here. Do not go anywhere near the janitor's closet. You'll have to make do. Scott, help me up." His knees are trembling, and he's pretty sure that any effort to walk on his own will fail in an embarrassing fashion. "Already on it," Allison calls over. She has her bow slung across her back and has managed to find a few bottles of chemicals she thought would do the trick. Fortunately, there isn't much blood. Erica moves over to help her. Sleeves also pulled over her hands, and the two start to confer. Boyd and Danny start to scoop Derek up in a chair carry, getting his arms around their shoulders. Erica looks over and shouts, "He likes to watch My Little Ponies while he's recovering."
"I hate you," Derek shouts back.
"You know what I hate?" Danny asks rhetorically. "Lizards." Scott pulls Stiles to his feet, looping Stiles' arm over his shoulder. Veronica watches all of them, moving easily now that the fear of Derek being permanently injured is falling away. She's wondering if she's ready for the loony bin, and the fact that Derek and Erica are teasing each other isn't helping. Stiles is saying something back to Danny about how at least this lizard isn't the size of a Buick, and then Lydia is bending over her and offering her a hand.
"You okay?" the redhead asks, smiling. "I mean, as okay as one can possibly be, given what happened."
Veronica hesitates for a moment before taking Lydia's hand, but she does it.
"Are giant lizards normal for you guys?"
"More than we'd like," Lydia says, helping her up. Isaac hovers a little, not saying anything, but clearly ready to help Veronica if she needs it. The others are heading for the back door, which leads to the parking lot. Veronica follows, shaky but holding her own, at least for the moment. Veronica hesitates and presses a hand against her forehead.
"My car," she says. "If I leave it here, the sheriff will see it."
Stiles takes a quick glance around and again takes stock of his resources. He's got no reason to think this creature, whatever it is targeting them, but still, he doesn't want anyone on their own. "Isaac, ride with Veronica. Boyd, ride with Lydia.
Danny, you can handle Derek as long as Boyd helps you get him in the car? He asks, and Danny nods. Styles manages a wan smile and says, try not to take advantage of his helplessness. It's no fun if he just lays there, Danny says. You are the worst, Derek states. Both of you. If you think that's the worst, just be glad Erica's not here to offer her opinion on the fun of someone who just lays there, Styles replies, with a smirk. Derek just glowers. You think her mouth is hilarious, Isaac says. Oh yeah, Styles says. Absolutely. He turns to Veronica and says, seriously, I don't mean to ditch you when I know you have a lot to process right now, but I'll explain everything once we get back to the house, okay? Veronica nods in blind agreement, and then comes back to herself and shakes her head. Wait, no, shouldn't we take Derek to the hospital or something? Hospitals don't like to hear things like, our friend has been paralyzed from the neck down by the neurotoxin venom of a lizard monster, Styles says, and if Deaton says it'll wear off, it'll wear off. He lets out a breath. Trust me, Veronica. I am the last person in the world who would put Derek in any sort of danger. He'll be okay. Who the fuck is Deaton? Veronica forces herself to take a breath. Okay, wait. I met Deaton. He was... I can totally picture him knowing all about venomous lizard monsters. But still, back at the house, I want all the answers. And if anyone tries anything, she tells herself, she'll tase the crap out of them. As long as you don't expect me to know what the fuck that thing was, Styles says, gesturing back at the pool area. Because I really don't have a goddamn clue. Great. Just great. She turns and heads for her car almost robotically. She knows that she just has to give herself a few minutes to think and let it sink in. Once she has all the pieces, things will fall into place, and she'll feel better. She'll understand. Isaac paces after her silently. He doesn't say anything as they walk around the school. Doesn't say anything until after they reach her car, and he sees the way Veronica's hands are shaking as she fumbles for her keys. Do you want me to drive? Yeah, I think you'd better. It kills her to say that. She doesn't like having people she doesn't know very well in her car, after Aaron Eccles had popped out of her back seat like some sort of demented jack-in-the-box. But at the same time, she can't drive safely right now. So she hands him the keys, slides into the front passenger seat, and belts herself in. She makes sure the belt is tight in case there's a crash for any reason, and clenches her fingers tightly around her bag and her lap, where she keeps her taser. Isaac folds himself into the front seat and starts the car. They've driven several minutes in silence before he says, I'm not gonna hurt you. I mean, I know you're probably freaked out, but we're still the same people we were yesterday. No offense, because I'm sure you're a perfectly nice guy. At least you seem to be. But there are only a few people I let be in a car with me, and you aren't one of them, okay? She just wants to have a quiet freak out right now. There's a panicky feeling crawling up from her belly, because how well does she really know Isaac? Sure, he seems nice, but for a long time, so had Mr. Eccles. And look how that turned out. And most of the time, she's okay. She could get to know people, but they weren't in her car, where they could grab her or force her to drive to the middle of nowhere, or... She takes a deep breath and squeezes her eyes shut. After a long moment, Isaac looks over at her, smelling her fear and hearing the rapid spike of her heart, and he murmurs something that he hopes is reassuring, but knows probably isn't. Then he devotes his attention to the road, because Veronica clearly doesn't want to talk about it, and he wouldn't either, if he were her. So he just drives, and they get to the house that Derek rented about 10 minutes later. The others are already there, because they didn't have to walk around the school to get to their car, and Styles is hovering over Derek as Danny and Boyd get him out of Danny's car. The second Isaac pulls the car to a stop, Veronica is out of it, stumbling a few steps away from all of them. Once she's put a few yards between herself and everyone else, she leans forward, bracing her hands on her knees and working on pulling herself together. Up until now, she'd simply avoided allowing anyone in the car aside from a short list of trusted people. Now she knows what will happen if someone else takes the wheel, and she hates it. When she's pulled herself together, she looks around and realizes that only Stiles is still outside. The others have all gone in to give her some privacy. Stiles isn't watching her either. He's staring out into the distance, fingers lacing and unlacing as he fidgets. When he sees her move, he glances over at her and says, "How are you doing?" "I'm not normally a freak-out sort of girl," Veronica says, wanting to make that clear. "You're probably not normally attacked by poisonous lizard monsters either," Stiles points out. "That's not... I don't like people being in my car," she blurts the words out suddenly. She doesn't want him thinking that she's having some sort of complete meltdown over the lizard, and deciding that she can't handle being told what's really going on. Stiles looks at her blankly for a few moments, before he recalls the details of her confrontation with Aaron Eccles, and guilt floods into his eyes. "Aw, shit, Veronica! I'm sorry, I didn't think about that. I thought having someone else along would make you feel better. Safer, you know?" The look of guilt almost makes Veronica happy. Not because she wants him to feel bad, but because someone who feels bad for accidentally frightening her isn't a bad person. It's the Stiles that she's friends with. "I won't hold it against you. It's the first time it's come up." Stiles nods at her. He looks at her thoughtfully for a few moments and then says, "Back when Peter Hale was alive, he put me in the trunk of his car. I spent 2 days there while my dad looked for me. For over a year afterwards, I couldn't spend more than 5 minutes in any space smaller than a bathroom without dissolving into complete hysterics." "Yeah, I absolutely sympathize," Veronica says. "I'm surprised I'm not claustrophobic. Mr. Eccles shoved me in a fridge and then set it on fire." She smirks a little. "It's a good thing that refrigerators don't burn well. I don't think he was thinking things through." "You would have died from smoke inhalation," Stiles says, and then says, "Fuck, that was pretty insensitive. I'm really on a roll today, aren't I?" "No, I think I actually prefer insensitive to handholding," Veronica says, and then gives a philosophical shrug. "I'm not the handholding sort. I'm the taser and attack dog sort." "Yet another way in which you and I are alike," Stiles says, somewhat solemnly. He lets out a breath. "Do you want to come in? Or would you rather talk out here?" "Where you can get away," are the underlying words, but he doesn't say them out loud. Veronica takes a minute to think about that. She sees that Isaac left her keys on the roof of her car, rather than keeping them to hand to her. Somehow, that makes her feel better. "I think I'm okay to go inside," she says, as she reaches up to collect them. She can't quite stop herself from checking to make sure the car is empty, and then locking it. Stiles waits patiently while she does that, then turns and heads inside. He goes first, so she won't have to have him at her back, but holds the door open for her. Inside, Derek has been arranged on the sofa, and Danny has, as directed, put on the My Little Ponies show. He's scowling at them, but still correcting Lydia as she gets one of their names wrong. Someone has stripped him and redressed him in dry clothes. Stiles walks over and rubs a hand over Derek's hair absently, a comforting gesture, before saying, "We'll be in the kitchen if you need us." "Okay," Derek says, leaning into Stiles' hand as best he can. Scott looks over at them. "Did either of you get hurt?" "I'm okay," Stiles says, and looks at Veronica. "That thing tossed you into that pile of chairs. You okay?" "Just some bruises," she says. "I think I'm fine." "Okay, good," he says. And then to Scott, "We're okay. I just need to settle, okay?" Scott nods. "No problem." Stiles heads into the kitchen and gestures for Veronica to follow. "When I get anxious or bad things happen, I bake," he says. "It's my coping mechanism, so you're going to have to put up with it. On the upside, At the end, there will be delicious cookies. If you have a delicious cookie preference, speak now or forever hold your peace.
I only know how to make sugar cookies and snickerdoodles, but peanut butter? Do you know how to make those?
She remembers her mother making them, because they're her and her father's favorite. She's never really managed it, though.
Oh, sure, Stiles says, his front half disappearing into the cabinet. If I manage to bake any before the pack eats all the dough, it'll be a miracle, though.
Veronica snorts at his choice of words. Pack? They're really that bad? They act like wolves?
They are, Stiles says, setting down a jar of peanut butter on the counter. I mean, they are wolves. They're werewolves. Remember the werewolves?
Yeah, all of them, except me and Allison, and my dad. Everyone else, totally a werewolf, just like it said on the internet. Veronica is all set to laugh at the joke, but then she sees that Stiles is serious.
What?
Werewolves are real. So is magic, so are sorcerers, so are fairies and trolls, and apparently, so are lizard monsters.
Stiles sets down a glass next to her and pours some whiskey into it. Drink.
She picks it up and gets it near her mouth, and then gets a whiff of it and puts it down hard.
No.
She takes a breath. I don't drink. Mom's got a problem, and there was this party after Lily died, and I don't remember part of it. I just don't drink.
Suit yourself.
Stiles picks the glass up and downs it himself. Do you want anything else? Tea, water, to slap me across the face?
Tea. Tea would be great. And, evidence. I'm a big fan of proof.
Okay. Promise not to freak out?
Can we settle for me promising not to start screaming, running, or using the taser?
Veronica asks.
I think I should be allowed to have a freak out if the object of a third of preteen fantasy romance novels suddenly has a basis in reality.
Fair, Stiles says. He pulls out a canister of flour and then a box full of measuring implements.
Hey, will someone come show Veronica a werewolf?
He calls into the other room.
Sure,
Scott calls, trotting into the room. 80s B-movie version or fur?
Do both, Stiles says. It's been a long day. Maybe seeing your funky sideburns will cheer Veronica up.
Scott laughs. No problem, he says, and looks at Veronica.
Seriously, it's like Elvis, he says.
And with that, he lets his body start to shift from one form to the other. A moment later, he looks up, with wolf gold eyes. He has a longer jaw, full of sharp canine teeth, and fingers tipped in nasty-looking claws. He knows the picture is relatively unattractive, but it's very effective in a fight.
Okay, Veronica says, trying not to stare.
Okay, that... There's a werewolf in the kitchen. I need to sit down.
You are sitting down,
Stiles points out with a wince.
Of course I am,
Veronica says, bracing her elbows on the table and her head in her hands.
Werewolves. Okay, sure.
Scott shifts back so he's fully human. I know, right? Stiles actually figured it out before I did, when I was bitten. He gives her a warm smile. You want to see the less scary version?
Sure. Why not?
Veronica surreptitiously pinches herself underneath the table. It hurts. Just like getting batted around by a lizard monster had hurt. She's not dreaming. And might be going crazy. But then again, this would explain a lot. She tries to keep it together as Scott pulls off his shirt.
Okay. Wow. That is definitely less scary, but why are you stripping?
Tail, Scott replies, the smile turning a little mischievous as he toes off his shoes. He's kind enough to turn his back to her before shucking off his jeans and boxers.
Oh my God,
Veronica mumbles under her breath, trying very, very hard not to look at Scott's ass. Scott laughs, but the sound changes into sort of a chuffing noise as his body bends and shifts down into full wolf form. Once he's shifted, he turns to face her and Stiles, still laughing, his tongue lolling and his tail moving in that slow wag that wolves do. He's almost as large as Jack, But his fur is dark brown and has a sort of wave to it, unlike Derek's straight black. He's thinner, more lean than Derek, who has a more solid frame. Veronica is so stunned that she almost changes her mind about the whiskey. She just stares for a moment, because that is a wolf, a real, live, 100% wolf standing in the kitchen of an 09er house. And there's nothing in her that can process that, especially when Stiles unscrews the lid of the peanut butter jar and Scott's head whips around. He pads over and starts pawing at Stiles' shirt. Stiles laughs and says, "There will be peanut butter cookies for everyone, you beggar. Get off!" Scott chuffs again, picks his clothes up in his mouth, and pads out of the room. Stiles turns slightly and puts a mug of tea down in front of Veronica. "So, werewolves are real. My friends are werewolves. Evidence enough?" "Yeah, I don't think my heart could take much more evidence than that." "I am not a werewolf," Stiles says, "but I am the alpha of this pack, which is why," he looks up at her, his eyes shining red, "you saw that." Veronica nearly drops the mug of tea she's lifting to her lips. "I knew it wasn't a trick of the firelight." "Yeah, no," Stiles says. "Born wolves have blue eyes, turned wolves have gold, and alphas have red. But that's detail you probably don't care about. You probably have a million questions." He rubs a hand over his head. "Honestly, I'm not sure where to start." "Well, wait. Back up. Start there. Born wolves and turned wolves? And you said alpha wolves have red eyes. And then you said you're an alpha but not a wolf. So explain all of that," Veronica says. Her coping strategy is going to be being herself, with a vengeance. "And once I have some basics, we're getting back to the lizard monster." "Okay," Stiles lets out a breath. "There are two types of wolves. Some people are born that way. There are families full of them. Other people are turned into werewolves by being bitten, like you see on the movies. Derek is a born wolf. Everyone else in the pack is a turned wolf. On occasion, a human can join a wolf pack. It happens most commonly when they become the mate of a wolf, but there are other ways it can happen too. Whether you're born or turned, you can be alpha, beta, or omega. The alpha is in charge of the pack. Betas are subordinates to the alpha. An omega wolf is one who doesn't have a pack. Follow me so far?" Veronica nods, wrapping her hands around the tea mug. She's trying to apply this information to how she's seen Stiles act with his friends. It wasn't really jiving until the last hour or so, except for his fight with Travis. "On the very, very rare occasion, a human can become the alpha of a pack. And when I say very rare, what I actually mean is that I am the only one in documented existence." He meets Veronica's gaze and says, "You become the alpha of a pack by killing the previous alpha. In my case, that was Peter Hale. I killed him, and I became alpha of this pack." "Why?" Veronica says, but it's not really a question. "Why would you do that?" She'd had her suspicions about him. The Stiles that she had seen fighting Travis on the beach seemed like he might be the sort of person who could do that. But the Stiles that had saved her at school, the Stiles that had sat there on the wet cement clutching Derek's shirt, didn't seem like a murderer at all. Stiles lets out another slow breath. "Because he was a killer and he needed to be stopped. Because he was an alpha wolf and a prison cell never could have held him. Because he was Peter, Derek's uncle that he loved, but losing his family made him go crazy and turned him into a monster. Because the pack gained strength from being united, and none of us would accept Peter, so it left us weak, crippled, easy prey. There were so, so many reasons that I did it, and a lot of them you won't understand. So let me put it this way. Aaron Eccles killed your best friend. He was horrible to Logan his entire life. No, he didn't say anything to me, but I can read the signs. So let's say that Aaron Eccles gets acquitted. He could, you know. He has good lawyers and a lot of money. And not only does he get away with murder, but he's still in town. He's taunting you, following you around, intimidating you and your friends. He's in control of Logan's life again, holding the purse strings. And you know that because he was acquitted, there's nothing you can do to stop him. Legally, your hands are tied. I want you to just think about that for a minute. Now imagine a scenario where you've got a gun to Aaron Eccles' head, and you know you can stop him, that you can do it without getting caught, protect your boyfriend, get justice for Lily, all by just pulling that trigger, and no one will ever know. Would you do it? The scenario he's describing is almost too horrible to contemplate, but it's one she can contemplate all too easily, because it's haunted her nightmares. Every time the defense attorneys call with questions for her, she thinks about it. She knows that Aaron would never just leave town if he got free. He would do exactly what Stiles is describing. She's held a gun now. She knows how it feels. She closes her eyes and pictures it in her mind. Pictures Lily's body and the way Logan broke down crying in her arms when he realized his mother was really gone. Then she opens her eyes and says, "Yes." "Then you can understand why I killed Peter." Stiles lets out a breath. "He had murdered 6 people. And no, they weren't all involved in the death of his family. He killed his nurse, who had helped him, and I never figured out why. Except that maybe by that point, he just couldn't stop. He tried to kill Allison, just because she was related to the person who had murdered his family. He turned Scott and Lydia against their will, tried to force Scott to kill us. He threatened to kill Lydia if I didn't help him find Scott so he could keep using him. And I did help him." Stiles' hands shake a little as he cracks eggs into a bowl. "God forgive me, I did. And then he put me in the trunk of his car and left me for dead. Peter was bad, Veronica. Bad all the way through. And he wasn't going to stop until someone put him down. So I did." Veronica nods a little. It doesn't seem like there's anything she can say in response to that, especially given what Derek had told her about Peter just days previous. She needs a subject change, to give herself some time to roll over all this in her head. "So now you're in charge of everyone?" she asks, frowning a little, because nobody really seemed that subordinate. "An alpha is a lot of things," Stiles says, relaxing a little when she doesn't push the subject. "Yeah, sometimes I give orders, like you saw earlier, but that's usually only in dire situations. The alpha is like the head of the family, a caretaker and a protector. I cook the food, I remind Erica to do her homework, I take Lydia shoe shopping because nobody else can stand watching her try on 50 pairs of identical heels. When it's necessary, I step up and make sure nobody messes with us. My job is to keep the pack safe, and to keep the pack together." "Okay." Veronica files all this away for future reference. "What about the full moon thing? And you said Peter turned Scott and Lydia against their will. Does that mean everybody else signed up?" She shoves the edge of the tea mug against her mouth to stop the question spilling out. "We're the strongest at the full moon, but can shift any time," Stiles says. "I took control of the pack when it was just Derek, Scott, and Lydia. Well, and Allison, by dint of the fact that she's Scott's girlfriend. And Derek was really only in the pack because he was related to Peter. But never mind. I didn't even know I'd become Alpha. I thought Derek would inherit it as Peter's nephew. I mean, shit, I'm not even a fucking werewolf. Nobody saw that one coming. Trust me. After that, we invited Isaac, Erica, and Boyd, and they were all turned with consent. Danny's kind of a special case because he had been seriously injured. Wolves have accelerated healing, so we turned him to save his life." "Why aren't you and Allison werewolves?" Veronica asks. "I mean, it seems like something most people want to be." "Peter offered me the bite as a gift." Stiles' mouth twists into a grimace as he says the word. "A reward for helping him, as if he hadn't forced me to. After that, I developed a strong aversion to the entire concept. Once I became the Alpha, honestly, we're not even sure I could be turned, or what would happen to my status if I was, and we're not eager to find out. As for Allison, she comes from a family of werewolf hunters, and her dad would kill me in my sleep if we ever turned her. You met her dad, so you should understand that. He carried a rifle like it was his best friend. Veronica pauses, thinking back over that encounter, and really perks up for the first time. He asked if I was a hunter, and what family I was from. He meant werewolf hunter, didn't he? Do they always come in weirdly large families? Do Allison and Scott have a mercifully non-tragic Romeo and Juliet thing going on? Stiles stifles a laugh. He asked if you were a hunter? Wow, way to be subtle, Chris. I'm going to have to send him a text mocking him at the nearest opportunity. Yes to the first question, yes to the second. It's basically only non-tragic because I intervened and smacked Chris in the face with some blackmail material and told him that if he didn't let them date, I'd ruin him. That was a couple years ago now. He got over it. Okay. Veronica takes a moment. So, how does all of this relate back to the super scary lizard thing? I really am not sure. Stiles rubs a hand over his face, leaving a smear of flour on his cheek. My dad? Who knows about all the supernatural stuff, by the way? Ask me if I knew anything about a monster that might make that sort of surgical cut across the back of the neck. He noticed it on both Peter and Marcos. I didn't, and I told him I would look into it. That was the only evidence we had, up until tonight, that this was anything other than a garden variety human killer. So does it kill at random? Marcos and Peter had something in common, but not Lucky. Veronica shakes her head. That guy that Scott called, if he knew about the neurotoxin, shouldn't he know more? He should, and does, Stiles says, because I called him back while we were on our way back to the house. Apparently, this type of lizard is called a canima. It's a shapeshifter, so it's human underneath. But unlike a werewolf, it possesses no consciousness in its separate form. The human is unaware of the canima, and vice versa. As to why it might be killing these people, on that score, I'm clueless. Lydia's looking it up in the bestiary. Wait. Get your mind out of the gutter, Stiles says firmly. A bestiary is a dictionary full of beasts. See how the word works? I know the difference between bestiary and bestiality, you ass, Veronica says. One is a book and the other is disgusting. She wrinkles her nose. I was going to say, wait, bestiaries are real? As in, all those things are actually out there? Oh God, freak out time. Deep breaths. Drink your tea. The bestiality thing is not my fault. Scott started it, Stiles says. Yes, those things are out there. And the reason you've never known that before is that people like Chris work really, really hard to keep it that way. Right. Tea. Right. She takes a couple of swallows. So, what do we do now? And I can't. I mean, I know it's a secret, but she doesn't want to start lying or keeping secrets from Logan. Everyone else she thinks she can manage. They don't get defensive about it the same way. They know that she has her secrets. Her life is such a disaster, she needs to be completely honest with at least one person. She looks down at her tea. Stiles says, "Let me think about it," and turns on the mixer. He's quiet for several minutes, letting Veronica sip her tea as he mixes all the ingredients together. When he finishes, he rubs a hand over his face. I had to keep all this secret from my dad for a long time, so I know what it's like when there's something so huge and there's no one you can talk to. So you can tell Logan if you want, but the less you're involved in this, the happier all of us will be. Once you start dipping your toes in the supernatural pool, it can be pretty hard to pull back out. And this world is dangerous. Thanks. Veronica sips her tea for a moment. More dangerous than crazy psycho murderers? She asks. She's not being at all sarcastic. She's looking for an honest answer. In reply, Stiles lifts up his shirt to reveal the scars for her to see again. Contrary to popular rumor, he says, dryly, I did not do this to myself. Oh. Veronica swallows and tries not to choke on her tea. I'm glad. I mean, not that someone else did it, but that you weren't feeling crappy enough to do that to yourself. And can I shut up now?
Styles is smiling a little.
Yeah, he says. Don't feel bad. I babble when I'm nervous, too.
He traces a hand over two of the scars.
This was another alpha werewolf.
Then he traces the ones that crisscross it. This was a sorcerer. He gestures to the ones on his arms.
This was me trying to get free from a shape-shifting fear monster thing. Trust me, Veronica. It's a world you don't want to be a part of. I got shoved into it. And while I wouldn't give up the pack for anything, it's not exactly a lifestyle choice I recommend.
Well, I didn't exactly mean to get involved, Veronica says.
I'm still getting used to the fact that the sheriff does his job. And when I went to the school, I was looking for Lucky, and instead I found his body, which is sad, actually.
She shakes her head a little.
Anyway, the lizard. How do we stop the lizard? Or how do you stop the lizard?
No, we.
I'll be honest, I'm really bad at letting things go. I mean, I don't want to be all involved in scary supernatural world, but this I need to finish.
Well, Styles says, spooning dough onto a cookie sheet. It would help if we could figure out who the human side of the Kanema is. Deaton said that a Kanema is someone who was bitten by a wolf, but lost their way. Someone who doesn't have enough of a sense of a self-identity to become a werewolf. Which doesn't actually make sense to me, but hey, that's not exactly new. So I guess the first question is, do you happen to know anyone who might have had a complete identity crisis lately?
Veronica's mug hits the table hard.
That, depends. If you know who it is, what happens then?
Styles rubs a hand over the back of his head. Geez, I don't know. Try to get them in touch with their inner self so they can be a werewolf, I guess. There's no known cure for the bite itself, but I'm pretty sure we don't want to leave him or her as a lizard monster.
Then I might know.
You might. Styles just looks at her. Three people are dead, and you might know?
Veronica gives him a fierce glare.
Yeah, well, in case you haven't noticed, I don't have a whole lot in the way of friends, and you're talking about telling one of them that they might be a giant poisonous murdering lizard monster in their off hours, and we don't know how to fix it or stop it. How eager would you be?
I'm not asking you to be eager, Styles says. You don't have to be like this, Veronica. God knows that I don't.
Jesus, I hate this. I need a service dog and a therapist and a bad baking habit just to survive my own life. But whoever this is has to be stopped, and you know that as well as I do.
Veronica looks down and nods a little.
I just don't want her hurt.
I promise you, I will do everything in my power not to, Styles says.
When Scott got turned against his will and practically lost his shit, we got him under control. When Danny's best friend Jackson went off the deep end and started practicing black magic, we got him back. This isn't her fault, Veronica. We can fix this. I don't know how yet, but we can.
Okay. Veronica takes a deep breath.
Mac. It's Mac.